Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 2.
You talk about life and talk about death and everything in between like it's nothing, and the words are easy. You talk about me and talk about you and everything I do like it's something that needs repeating. I don't need an alibi, or for you to realize the things we left unsaid have only taken space up in our heads. Making my fault, win the game, point the finger, place the blame, and toss me up and down. It doesn't matter now, 'cause I don't care if I.
This month, I'd like to start with a letter that we have received from a Miss Rogers from Swansea. Thanks for your letter. It reads thusly. Dear so-called KBS podcast, I listened to your first podcast and I have to say I was astounded. I was near the point of orgasm just as you started, and the vinegar strokes that resulted could have kept even the most acidic chip lover happy. So in the future, could you please warn us happy podcasters when you get going? You all have voices that could make Gandhi's slipper wet. Yours, weak at the knees, Mrs. Rogers. Well, Mrs. Rogers, we do aim to please, so from now on, you will be warned when we start. So.
Warning, warning, the podcast is about to start. Warning. Morning.
This month's episode will contain the usual mix of fun-filled frolics, so enjoy the show, and we're going to start off with a little bit of a song. So I'd like to welcome my guest at this time, Dave Rickman, Alan's brother. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
So when did you actually start an Alan Rickman tribute act?
It started a little after Die Hard came out. Mummy said I should get a job just like my brother, Alan.
And you're releasing an album, is that right? As Alan Rickman?
Yes, I want to leech off his fame.
Oh, as any loving brother would. So, why don't you introduce yourself and your song you're going to sing for us today?
This is Alan Rickman, and this is the first single from my new album. Now That's What I Call Swing, Volume 1. Why do you build me up, buttercup baby, just to let me down? Don't let me down, don't mess me around, because worst of all, you'll never call baby when you say you will. But I love you still, I need you more than anyone, darling. You know that I have from the start. So build me up, buttercup. Don't break my heart, I will destroy you, then take over a building and fall off it. You tell me time and again, but you're late, don't be late. I wait around and then I went to the door. I can't take any more, I'm getting sad and my bag is getting full. But baby, baby, I tried to find a little time and I'll make you mine, I'll be home. I'll be waiting beside the phone for you. Don't make me wait. I don't like waiting. I will kill you. Build me up, buttercup baby, just to let me down. And then, worst of all, you never call baby when you say you will. I hate that. I need you more than anyone, darling. You know that I have from the start. So build me up, buttercup, don't break my heart. It will not be tolerated. This is now the end of the song, and I get to ad lib. This is where I enter my subliminal messages into the album. If you play this backwards, you will hear it, yeah. But baby, baby, you'll try to find a way to get out of my mind. But I'm Alan Rickman, and you have no chance. Just submit to me. Now, submit to the Rickman. Do build me up, buttercup baby, just to let me down. mess me around, because if you mess me around, I will destroy you. I will hit you over the head with my book about gerbils. All my facts I know are not correct, but I don't care, because this is going straight into number one. Buttercup, don't break my heart. Ah, I need you more than anyone, baby. What do you mean the track is finished? I don't care. I'm Alan Rickman. I can do what I want. Don't you dare pull that plug on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Big Daddy.
What's up, guys? It's Wild Bill here with The Wrestling Show, which I've decided to call Off The Top Rope. Something I won't be doing in my wrestling career very much, I don't think. I'm just by myself today because I wanted to talk about my beginning of wrestling training, which I've been doing the last month and a half. I mean, it's come on leaps and bounds, the amount I've learned each week, which is amazing. But I'll be talking about that more later. What I wanted to talk about first was the last WWE pay-per-view. Payback at the time of recording. It was a really good pay-per-view, which is kind of surprising considering some middle months between Mania and SummerSlam you get nothing and others are about average, but I really enjoyed it. Del Rio Ziggler was a really good match. They played up on the fact that Ziggler had a concussion, had just come back from a concussion, sorry, and they used that in a way to get Alberto Del Rio over as a heel again, and they kind of done a double change, which most memorable of them is probably Bret Hart and Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13, I think it was. Yeah, it was. But yeah, the match was enjoyable and sort of played up the fact a lot that Ziggler had suffered a concussion. I was a bit gutted to see Ziggler drop the belt that quickly, but if he wasn't 100% or something, it's understandable. I don't really want to stick on just talking about WWE. I mean, I haven't watched TNA for a long time. A lot of people get mad at me about this because, oh, how can you not watch TNA? The wrestling is so good. And it is. The matches are brilliant. I just can't buy into their storylines. And as a wrestling fan, that's what I like. I like to watch the shows, to watch the storylines develop. I mean, you've had Daniel Bryan and Kane coming to their big split. And it's been a brilliantly done one with them losing to the Shield multiple times. And Bryan thinking he's the weak link. And he's brought in the sort of American Dragon when he was in Ring of Honor. Aggressive side to his matches again, which is really good to see. And plus he made Randy Orton tap out, which is one of the things that doesn't really happen a lot. Unless he was against Cena, probably. But I mean, the Raws afterwards have been really good as well. Mainly because Vince McMahon wasn't happy with the storylines. So he got Dutch Mantel, who is Zeb Coulter on storylines. And Paulie Dangerously? No, that's going back a while. Paul Heyman to rewrite the scripts for them. And it's made brilliant TV. And it's always good to see them sort of go back to not as edgy as the Attitude Era, which everybody wanted to go back to, but I don't think they can. I think the Attitude Era happened at a perfect point in time. Nothing will recreate that. But I digress. From what I've gathered from reading random people's posts on TNA, they're bringing the Main Event Mafia back as a face stable to combat Aces and Eights. I really enjoyed Aces and Eights, and then Bully Ray got revealed as the leader, and I thought that was a good sort of pivotal point for the story. But it just doesn't seem like they've done much afterwards from what I've watched and read and everything. So I haven't really watched TNA since lockdown. But onto the spotlight of this month's show, and that is my wrestling training, which is going really well, I think. I mean, I do have some problems with some of the things. Getting my large frame to flip over in a ring is quite hard. But I do the best I can. I just need to stop overthinking and just jump. Because, I mean, I can do a sunset flip on somebody quite easily. And that's pretty much the same thing. You're just vaulting over somebody instead of just flipping over yourself. But the main thing with the training that's hard is the warm-ups, because it's all based on building up your muscles, like with push-ups, sit-ups, stomach crunches. They're the same thing, never mind. One of the worst ones I've had to do is called a turnbuckle pull-up. Basically, you grip the top turnbuckle with the tips of your fingers and you've got to do one or two pull-ups, or as many as you can. I couldn't manage one because it's all fingertip strength. It's a proper rock climbing exercise. So if you're a rock climber, you'd probably be good at it. But there's lots of cardio to be done, because you've got to be able to be in the ring and do lots of running around, obviously. And then the first week we were there, it was really good. We went over bumps, how to sort of land and break your fall. I'm not going to give away too much information, because I think you still need that suspension of disbelief for watching wrestling, which is awesome. But went through transitional holds, like locking up, going into a headlock and a wrist lock, and locking their arms behind the backs and stuff. And we just went through that over and over, just to get it drilled into your mind of going through them all. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's one of the hardest things to get your feet in the right position and get your body in the right position to get it done properly. But it's one of them things, it sticks in your head the more you do it. And then we went over reversing them, rope running, which was fun. And what they call the European Standard, which, if you watch any British wrestling, well, European wrestling, you'll see it a lot, where people lie on the floor while people jump over them, and then the hip toss them and slam them and stuff from running. It's all done from that. As I say, I'm not going to go on into how you do these things, because that's not very good. Secrets of the business, keep it close to your chest. I've got to say, the pain the next couple of days is intense. Not just from doing the moves, but from the warm-ups, because your muscles are screaming. I mean, it's been a month and a half or so since I started, and my muscles are just starting to be used with all the work they're doing. The fact I wasn't very wasn't doing much exercise before this probably didn't help. But we've gone over moves such as how to slam somebody, how to suplex somebody, sort of moves that look absolutely painful and devastating and look like they kill your back. And we've learned how to do them properly and how to look after your opponent so that they're okay. We've done jumping off top rope. I jumped and landed on my ass on purpose, and that was about 4 weeks ago, and my tailbone is still bruised from doing it. So for those who say, oh, it's alright when they jump off the rope, it doesn't hurt that much, it does, trust me. I also had my first match in a training session, which was fun. It was a tag team match, just because I'm new to it, and it was brilliant. All I had to do was come in being the bigger guy and just demolish everybody and then get the pin for the win. So technically I've got a 1-0, one win, no losses streak, so I want to keep that going. But yeah, it's just keeping your mentality in a match is really hard, because you're thinking, your mind's wanting to think three moves ahead, but you've got to try and stick where you are and go, right, we're doing this now. Now we're going to do this part, and then we're going to do this part. Not, right, in three moves time, I'm going to have to be over there at the other side of the ring. You've got to live in that moment, if that makes sense. But if you want to find out about it, because it's run by, well, for Cumbria, a local bunch of lads. So if you go and like up Target Wrestling on Facebook, they'll appreciate the likes, and you never know, they might get a show near you and you can come and watch it, which would be cool. But that's about it from me. I'm actually recording this on a Friday, and I've got training in about 5 hours, and then I've got a night shift to follow it directly after, which will be fun. Not. But anyways, this is Wild Bill with Off the Top Rope. Next time, I'll probably have somebody with us, because this has been quite hard to do talking on my own. But it's been fun, and I'll see you next time.
Welcome to the part of the show that divides more people than the question, would you give Billy Piper one, even though you know Chris Evans has been there? Say hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Hello. Here we go again for another section of Let's Educate, Stimulate, Brainwash, Inform all new subscribers. I think I won last month anyway, Andrew.
You didn't though, did you?
Well, I did.
Technically, you didn't.
Well, I did.
All right.
My turn first.
Your turn first, right.
So, I'm going to give you a clue about the two songs I've got this month. First one,
okay.
It's a soundtrack from a movie.
Star Wars. Is it the Imperial March?
It's not the... Do, 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 do. No, it's not that. Do you know what? I once watched an adult movie that had that as the theme tune.
Nice.
I thought so. Anyway, it was on Betamax. Anyway. And the second one is a boy band song.
Good.
Just up your back passage, mate.
Just up my back passage.
What about your two songs? Have you got any hints about them or not?
My songs, classics. Yep. Classics.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Just a classic. Just a classic. Right. I'll play my first song then.
All right.
And you're going to know this, because we used to watch it all the time. Back in day, in Pennine Way, in Carlisle.
Right. Most of my memory's jarred from that era, because of, like, when you threw us onto them rocks.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about that.
No.
Tell me if you recognise this song, because this is brilliant. Are you ready?
Go, go.
Here we go. This is a great song. Do you know what it is yet?
Karate Kid.
Yes, it is Karate Kid. Sweep the leg. Wax on, wax off. Have you seen the remake of this film?
With Jaden.
Is that what it's called?
Jaden Smith.
Is that Will's son? He died not so long back, didn't he? Not Jaden.
Jaden.
Not Jaden. He should, but no.
Yeah, he's a cocky little shit.
Yeah, what do you call him?
Mr. Miyagi.
That's the one. Nothing's gonna ever be done. It's just a good song. It's a good song. Tell me you like it. I bet you don't know who sang it.
Let's have a think.
You gotta love the 1980s guitar solo. Well done there. Oh, yeah, you can almost hear the keys tapping on the keyboard there.
I'm not even on the computer.
No, you're not. I bet you could tell me where it got to in the charts as well, couldn't you? No, you can't, can you? This song is good, isn't it? Oh, I got this big finish now.
You're the best around.
I was going to do a movie theme. I was going to do Rawhide as well, but I didn't get around to that. Right, do you want to introduce your first song?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Which one is my first song?
Whichever one you want.
Okie doke. This first song is by a gentleman named Brian Patrick Carroll, born on the May the 13th, 1969. He wears a bucket on his head. He's called Buckethead, and the song, Tears in the Mirror.
I almost played your whole one.
This song is so chilled out, man. It reminds me of an aquarium.
Has it got fish in it?
Yes.
So long, thanks for all the fish. Did you just make this up on your Yamaha keyboard before you came onto this call, or what?
No.
So tell me a bit about this guy, then. I've never heard of this song before.
Well, he's called Buckethead. He's mainly a solo guitarist. He's played alongside many bands, such as Guns N' Roses. He stood in for Slash for a while. He's done loads of soundtrack stuff, like Saw 2, Mortal Kombat, Last Action Hero, The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie soundtrack. He's done collaborations with Serj Tankian, Viggo Mortensen, stuff like that.
The Green Ranger always was the best.
Tommy. Oh, why?
Tommy. That wasn't a racist program at all, was it? Power Rangers.
No.
Not with the Yellow Ranger being Japanese and the Black Ranger being black.
Yeah. He's currently released 47 studio albums.
Nice.
Yeah.
It sounds, it's got a sound of Fleetwood Mac about it. You go and listen to Fleetwood Mac Albatross. It's got the hint of this.
There you go, Phil. I've just sent you a picture of what he looks like. So chilled out.
You know what? I could probably actually listen to this.
Oh, good.
Well, it's a man with a bucket on his head.
KFC bucket. No, that's...
It's a bargain bucket.
Yeah.
Is that a mask he's got on?
Yeah, he's got a mask on as well.
I'm going to say it's either that or he needs some vitamin C in his diet. I think out of your three songs you've had so far, that's the best one.
I will see. I've got another song today. So.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever heard of your next artist, though.
No, probably not.
Right, you've got to love this next song, mate.
Right.
And you've got to sing along to it. It's right up your alley again. There's a lot going up your back passage today.
Apparently, yeah. It's almost like I've had an enema.
Here we go.
Favorite
artist?
What's this?
Oh, you know who this is.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I honestly don't.
Sing along, Andrew. Why you never asked me the same. McFly. Have you just logged off now? That's it. I did not.
In all fairness to McFly, in all fairness to most of this song, they are just shit. In all fairness to them, as a fair.
That riff!
It's fair review.
Still going, listen to the riff, it's still.
I'll give it further on instrument. Probably don't.
Yeah, yes, they do actually. I can't believe I'm having a conversation about the musical talent of McFly.
All lack thereof.
And I'm sticking up for McFly. Sometimes this job is a bigger drawback than an elephant's foreskin. Tell me you're not tapping your foot.
I'm definitely not tapping anything. Very good.
The musical talents have just like changed the song completely in the middle.
I figured I'd take it off.
But probably, yeah. Each other's. Here we go, come on, actors, sing along! I'll do the 1, 2, 3, 4 thing in a minute. They do the other boy band cheesy thing as well in a minute. They have a silence in the middle of the song, listen. That is musical brilliance. What's wrong with McFly then? What is McFly a brilliant?
Shut up.
Right, we're gonna go straight from McFly into this next artist. I think.
Hang on. I need to go wipe the blood out of my ears.
I think that artist blends into this next one seamlessly.
It does seamlessly blend in. Here we go.
He's all right.
He's all right.
This is that guy that's married to that X Factor judge, isn't it?
It is, right. She took all the fame.
She knows talent when she sees.
Black Sabbath was his first band. They've got a new album.
Have they really?
Of course, if you listen to this, all your focus goes straight to the guitarist. Mr. Randy Rhoads.
I was going to say, is it Randy?
Died way before.
When did he die?
81 or 2. 82, I think.
It was a while ago, though. Yeah, alright, I'll let you have this one. This is a good song. I mean, it's no McFly, but what is? I'm surprised you didn't go all commercial and play Paranoid. No. I actually think you've had a couple of good songs there this month, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, almost around you. Remember the song "Come on, Feel the Noise"?
Slade.
No.
Yeah.
Quiet Riot.
No, Slade did it originally.
Quiet Riot.
No, they didn't. "Come on, Feel the Noise" was Slade, wasn't it?
Quiet Riot.
It's Slade. Get Wiki, you.
Right, I've got Wiki up.
It's Slade! Slade!
Quiet Riot is an American heavy metal band best known for their singles Mental Health and Come On Feel the Noise. Right, the band was founded in 1973 by guitarist Randy Rhoads.
Okay, so when did they do that song? Because it's a Slade song, isn't it?
I don't know, let's find out. Who wrote
"The Noise"?
Come On Feel the Noise.
Come On Feel the Noise, Wiki. Right, click that.
It was actually released by Slade first.
Yeah, it was released by Slade. I'm sure it was a Slade song.
What?
Originally, it was 1973. Written by Jim Lee and Noddy Alder.
Well, you know.
So it
was a cover by Quiet Riot.
Yeah, just for that.
In it.
All your songs this month are null and void.
They're not really.
Well, they are, aren't they?
Not really.
And Oasis did a cover of "Come and Feel the Noise" as well, a B-side of one of the songs. But they didn't do it originally, Andrew.
No, I was 83. Quiet Riot. But anyway, Randy Rhoads was in Quiet Riot.
You just said Randy Rhoads died in 81.
Aye, but the Quiet Riot was founded in 73.
Yeah. So he didn't play on "Come and Feel the Noise," did he?
No, he didn't play on "Come and Feel the Noise." No. I was saying that the band.
So "Come and Feel the Noise" by Quiet Riot's got nothing at all to do with...
Quiet Riot's band name was inspired by a conversation with Rick Parfitt.
Really? Of Status Quo fame?
Yes.
I could talk about them for hours. I'm friends with Rick Parfitt's son on Facebook.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you going to speak to his dad?
Ricky?
Aye.
How's the old ticker, Ricky?
How's the gap in your nose?
How long you got left, Rick? Anyway. So.
Anyways. All right. Randy Rhoads.
Randy Rhoads. He's all right, isn't he?
He's good.
Yeah.
Best guitarist.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Technically.
The best guitarist that's got anything recorded ever.
Right. Well, right now, I'm a better guitarist than Randy Rhoads is.
Technically.
Just putting it out there. Anyway. So. As usual, that was good, that Andrew. I'll let you have that one.
Yes, back of the net,
Jurassic Park. I'm going to play my Phil's Banker song this week,
right?
And coincidentally, it is a glam rock song, so we are going back to Slade. "Come on, Feel the Noise," 1973, written by Noddy Alder.
It's written by Noddy Alder.
No, "Come on, Feel the Noise." What do we have to have that conversation again?
Who did the cover of it?
Quiet Riot.
There you go,
back of the net. Right, and you do know this song, and like I say every time to you, you're gonna go yes. And as usual, Andrew,
yes,
brace yourself. Where's the yes? You know the song.
When it kicks in, maybe.
Oh, come on!
It's Adam and the Ant.
No, it's not bloody Adam and the Ant. Fucking Adam and the Ant. Fucking Adam. There are literally tens of people out there now screaming at the little MP3 player. Come on, Andrew! This is great, so. Brilliant song. This is one of those songs that people go, yes,
yes, I will dance to that song like a lunatic.
I know the song. I just don't know the intro.
So what blood? How do you not know the intro to Tiger Feet? Right, I wouldn't normally do this, but you know how we have the arguments about all songs sound the same?
Yeah.
Right, this song playing now is Mud Tiger Feet, right? I'm going to play you another song.
Right.
By the same artist. See if you can spot the difference, right? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So I'm going to turn it down, then I'm going to turn it back up again in a second. When this next song starts, right, and it started now, right?
Right.
Is that the same song?
It is.
Love your tiger feet. This is a good song as well, man. And we're going to go back to Tiger Feet. And the cat crept in. Seamless. Anyway, so that's how songs sound the same in the 70s, but everybody loves Tiger Feet by Mud, everybody. And we're going to let these lot play each other out. Andrew, again, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an emotional roller coaster.
It has.
But I think I won this month again. Right, thank you very much. We're going to hand you over to the next people now. I don't know who it's going to be because I haven't mixed it yet. See you next week.
Bye.
This month, as a bit of an extra treat for everybody, I thought what I'd do is I'd review the Doctor Who Regeneration box set. First of all, the packaging is fantastic. It's right up there with the limited edition Bond set from last year. It's limited edition, as I've said. It's limited to 10,000 and each one of them is individually numbered. Upon opening the set, you're greeted by the following quote from the Ninth Doctor from the episode Parting of the Ways.
Time Lords have this little trick. It's all the way of cheating death. Except... it means I'm going to change.
And this sets the scene. Each Doctor is represented in the set, each having a brief synopsis as well as a description of each Doctor's regeneration episode. The crowning glory of this six-disc, 1,000-hour set is episode 4 of the first Doctor William Hartnell's serial, The Tenth Planet, which incidentally saw the introduction of the Cybermen. It's never been released before. It was a victim of the BBC's decision in the 1970s to wipe a lot of video footage from early TV episodes. Because back then they thought the videotape was too expensive to reuse. They weren't allowed to replay any episodes because of the agreement they had with the unions, so they just wiped it all. It's been reanimated in the original style, in black and white of course, but it uses the surviving audio sound from the first Doctor's final episode. This regeneration was brought on by the real-life ill health of William Hartnell. The glaring omission of the box set is a full serial to contain a full story by the sixth Doctor Colin Baker. It's hardly surprising as it's still the only Doctor actor to be fired from the role. There is no bonus extras on any of the discs, but some might say the final release of the 10th Planet story is bonus enough. That being said, the whole set's going to be out of date, however, come Christmas 2013 when Matt Smith leaves the show to be replaced by a yet unnamed actor. However, seeing as most Doctor Who fans like myself are geeks, will no doubt go and buy any Regeneration 2 box set or any add-on package that will come out. It's well worth the £43 that I paid for my number 7,336 with 10,000 edition. I'll be back next month, and I'm going to maybe review, if I get back in time and write it, a review of Alpha Papa, the Alan Partridge movie. So, to see you out. Ruddy hell, it's soft sell.
On my signal.
What signal?
Don't miss it.
Sorry, can I ask again? You mentioned a mistake with me.
Oh, big, big mistake. Really huge. Didn't anyone ever tell you there's one thing you never put in a trap if you're smart? If you value your continued existence. If you have any plans about seeing tomorrow, there's one thing you never, ever put in a trap.
And what would that be, sir?
That just about wraps it up for this episode. All that's left to me is thank you a lot for all listening. This month's unsigned act is Joseph O'Brien, a talented performer from Acworth, West Yorkshire. He's been on the Northern Club circuit for the last 10 years and performed both here and in the UK and abroad. He was awarded the Best Northern Newcomer Award in 2005, headlining the Queen's Jubilee concert in the Wakefield Theatre Royal, and has performed for two consecutive years at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. So here, with Mac the Knife, here's Joe.
The shark has such teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old McKeith Bay, and he keeps it way out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, dear, scallop billow starts to spread. Fancy gloves, though, is on McKeith Bay, so there's never a trace of red. On the sidewalk, oh, Sunday morning, don't you know, lies a body just oozing light. And someone sneaking around the corner, could that be our boy, Mac the Knife, from a tugboat down by the river? Don't you know, there's a cement bag just drooping on down. That cement's there, it's there for the way, dear. Bob will get you a tent on Mackey's back in town. Did you hear about Louis Miller? He disappeared, dear, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Mackey spends, he spends just like a sailor. Could it be, could it be, could it be our boys done something?